Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton, bringing you this week's edition of Earth and Home. Today, we will be reading from Real Simple Magazine, October 2025. Let's get started with the first article. Drew Barrymore invites you to prioritize yourself by Lauren Iannotti. Drew Barrymore doesn't need much of an introduction. So instead of naming the approximately 87 things she's starred in since becoming a famous actor at age 7, or talking about her eponymous daytime show that you already watch if the ratings are any indication, I'm just going to tell you how nice she is. The way she is on that show, wide open and friendly and gushing and kind, is exactly how she is in real life. When we asked her to take over a room in our Real Simple home, she came back with an enthusiastic yes and has been demonstrably fired up about it since. We offered her the gig because she's proven herself as a design and housewares savant, with a line of furniture, appliances, and other goods that habitually sell out at Walmart. This in addition to her successful production company and beauty brand. And because she is just so Real Simple. During our interview, she and I bonded over The Simpsons, being divorced girl moms, the highs and the lows, and our shared passion for using design to create a home we can be our own happy selves in, and helping others do the same. Even though she's the famous one and I was there to ask about her, as we talked, she expressed genuine curiosity about me too. She's just like that, you know, she's Drew. Lauren Iannotti. We're so excited to have you design a room in the Real Simple home. Your assignment was a wellness space, or as you call it, a feel-good room. Tell us about it. Drew Barrymore. I was excited when you guys threw out the word wellness. I immediately thought of a spa waiting room, and I felt like the striped couch from our line would be just right, although it wasn't designed with that in mind. Then I went through all these paint colors, and I loved this bright Kelly green that made me think of juice. But I thought, is that our brand? L.I. So you went with something a little warmer. D.B. We've always had this terracotta vibe because of the earthiness of it, and that felt very grounding and very calming. So I chose a shade in that family. It puts me at ease. And it has enough light in it that it feels bright without being a white or cream. I wanted it to be enveloping, calming, and soothing. That was my North Star. From there, we just started layering in, and we were like, okay, maybe a little bar cart. Because in a spa waiting room, they always have that little vat of cucumber water. In fact, I really want to bring one of those in and little bowls of nuts. Can we do that? L.I. Sure we can. We're in charge here. D.B. By the way, I haven't seen that many spa waiting rooms. I don't do that for myself often enough. I think the invitation to take care of ourselves is something we lose sight of. L.I. Agreed. D.B. So this room could be that invitation. When I was thinking about this assignment, I had to decide what wellness means to me. It means remembering to even put yourself in the mix, let alone first. L.I. The top five. Get yourself in the top five. D.B. Right? That would be huge. L.I. How do you model for your kids that it's important to be kind to yourself? D.B. I don't know if I've got that one down yet. We're all works in progress. I model how important it is to be kind to others. If you're not good to someone, you will not only ruin their day, but guess what? You're going to feel really bad about yourself. So nix that behavior. And I've taught them that if you clean up after yourself, you're going to have more calmness in your space. Your head is as messy as your room is. Someone said that to me, and it changed my life forever. L.I. So you're the tidy type. Me too. D.B. Yeah, messes can be cute and charming, but they can't stay there. They got to get cleaned up so you're ready for the next mess to be made. I have one daughter who's neater than I will ever be, and one daughter who is beyond messy. But someone reminded me that I was messy when I was young. And I was like, oh my God, I'm expecting her to have my 50-year-old woman's standards of cleanliness. L.I. I love a clean house, but I had to learn that when you get busy and feel overwhelmed, that's the thing you have to let go. D.B. When I get burnout from trying to mom really hard and work really hard, I go, you know what? This isn't good. And I know that at the end of the day, the most important thing in life is your relationships. If I'm not putting them first, then I'm on the wrong track. So I talk to my kids, and I do try to show them that the more you work on yourself, the happier you're going to be, the more your friendships will thrive. We all need tools to navigate the world, and asking for help is everything. L.I. Meaning therapy? Yes, I think about therapy the way people think about exercises, as a form of discipline. I may not have gotten my cardio levels up today, but I figured out a problem and a potential solution. I treat therapy as if it's the most basic, normal, welcome thing. Nobody questions if someone wants to go to the gym, but somehow therapy can have a stigma. Yeah, I have a lot of cellulite, but my brain is functioning in a way that I'm not devastated about. L.I. Your brain is lean and mean. D.B. I don't have that killer body, but I can get out from under the elephant sitting on my chest, the problem that's overwhelming me. I can go into my toolbox and I can pull myself out of things. L.I. I feel like this is a good segue back to your calming pretty room. What are we using it for? D.B. It's a place to sit and a transition. Like when you get into a meditation class and they'll tell you to let go of your day and stop thinking about the next thing you have to do. Don't think about the grocery list or what happened this morning. This room wants you to be mindful and present, which is almost as hard as putting yourself first. L.I. I love the idea of building yourself a little space for that. D.B. I once heard someone say, any space you give a woman, she will fill it. And I loved that. Give her a little clutch, she'll pack it full of stuff. Give her a giant suitcase, she'll fill that up. We're very good nesters. We definitely know how to fill a space, even if we're minimalists. L.I. Do you consider yourself one? D.B. Nope, nope. I did try minimalism for a minute, just to see what it was like. But I'm a bit of a hoarder, and when I tried to take things out, I couldn't see my life around me anymore. I'm always going to go for a layered look. It's who I am, and any time I fight it, it doesn't work. L.I. So how would you describe your design style? D.B. I've tried so hard to come up with terms. People will call me bohemian or eclectic. I'll go with downtown rustic. I like the feeling of city and country. I will always need big florals around me. I don't know if it'll ever look like I live in a home that was done by a designer. I went for a pre-war place that's super funky and feels personal and warm, and I love it. But my bookshelves have cracks in them because they're separating from the wall. My kids' closets is a SH Ascaris tea show. It's not even technically a closet. My friends make fun of me. They're like, she will always buy the places with no closets. L.I. You like what you like. Tell us about the stuff you're working on right now. D.B. I'm so excited because our beautiful line is constantly expanding, from the pet products we launched in the spring to the bedding and dining room furniture collection this past summer. Designing your home can be a lot of fun, and we want to continue bringing items that customers can get excited about. Our goal is to bring a bit of joy to your home and inspire you to get creative while designing or redesigning spaces. L.I. Your lane seems to be taking really functional things and making them bright and colorful and beautiful. What keeps you inspired as a designer? D.B. If I imagine something and I can't find it, I want to make it. That really lights my fire. And then once the fire starts, it's hard to extinguish. Like when we started designing our appliance line, we wanted to bring high-level tech but with more color and happiness added to it, which is something you don't often see in this space. L.I., speaking of lighting your fire, What's your most satisfying cleaning task? DB, stain removal. Bring it. We got Drew's take on some low-stake controversies. Is the 5-second rule real? The 10-second rule is real. Is it okay to put your suitcase on the bed? Is it not okay? I'll also sit on the bed in my clothes after getting off the subway. I'm like, antibodies. Come on in. Do you wear socks to bed? Never, not a day in my life. Nothing more claustrophobic. Bath or shower? It used to be bath, now it's shower, because there's never enough time. Which way do you face in the shower? I rotisserie turn, but mostly I'm outward. Should you wear underwear all the time, even to bed? I rarely wear underwear, and my daughter Frankie will pants me as a joke. I tell her, you're going to do this in the wrong place one day. I just don't really love underwear, and if I put something on, it's going to be really big and cottony. Toilet paper, over or under? I don't get what is under and what is over. I mean, I kinda do, but I've never thought about it. I will say, even if you're in a public place, when the toilet paper rolls, runs out, change it. Be a good person. That concludes Drew Barrymore invites you to prioritize yourself. Now let's move on to the next article. Minor issues, major opinions. Is it okay to crack your knuckles? Everyone's got thoughts. We collected yours, then called on the experts to settle the debate once and for all. By Naomi Barr. 46% of Instagram commenters say it's fine to crack away. Readers say, bring on those pops. Cracking them since 1996 and my fingers don't look anything like an arthritis patient's. Instagram Christy_C. Gray. Yes. Instagram Seamer76 and many others. It just feels so good. Once you pop, you can't stop. Instagram Ariel Knutson. God, no. Not in front of others. Instagram, J.H. Mayer 10. No, the noise is annoying. You wouldn't burp in public. Why would you crack your knuckles in public? Instagram, Jambles 5. Not sure it's the best for the tendons. Instagram, CDaily 97. The experts say, yes, it's generally fine. Despite what moms around the world might say, those satisfying pops won't damage your joints, nor will they lead to arthritis, says rheumatologist Eric Ruderman, MD, a professor of medicine at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. In an attempt to put the myth to rest back in the day, one California doctor undertook his own very informal study. He cracked the knuckles of his left hand twice a day, every day for 50 years, leaving the ones on his right hand alone. Eventually, in 1998, he reported his findings. Ready? No arthritis, and no difference between the two hands. Broader research published in the Western Journal of Medicine in the 70s also concluded that there's no link between knuckle cracking and arthritis. While a 1990 study reported that knuckle crackers were more likely to have hand swelling and reduced grip strength. A 2017 study found no correlation between knuckle cracking and grip strength. Our experts say they've never seen long-term complications, though one has a warning. Don't push your joints beyond their natural range of motion, says Aaron Nance, MD, a New York City-based orthopedic hand surgeon. You could wear your joints down, causing stiffness or swelling. People typically crack their knuckles, or knees, or backs, or necks, because they get a sense of relief or satisfaction from it, says rheumatologist Kanika Munga, MD, assistant professor of clinical medicine at Houston Methodist Hospital. The relief and sound likely come from the release of pressure and the breaking of gas bubbles that accumulate in the lining around the joint, she explains. So where did the decades-old arthritis association come from? Ruderman has a guess. I'll tell my patients, your mother always told you not to crack your knuckles because she didn't like the sound of it. That concludes Is It Okay to Crack Your Knuckles? You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Earth and Home, and I am your volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. So now let's move on to the next article. These vacations are totally lit. Book a literature-inspired adventure and see where the story takes you, by Erica Lee Finnemore and Melissa Matthews. Knowing that so many real simple readers, hey, love to read as much as they love to explore, we decided to combine the two pastimes and create some page-turning, book-themed itineraries. See the real-life settings that inspired your favorite tales. Learn about the lives of the authors who spun iconic narratives, and write some new chapters of your own. If you're a bibliophile with a travel bug, do what you do best. Read on and get packing. Dublin. Get thee to the Emerald Isle's capital. Once there, head directly to the Museum of Literature, which spotlights the country's many contributions to the Western canon. Exhibits are revolving, but a few mainstays include artifacts from Oscar Wilde and James Joyce. In fact, you can gawk at the first ever copy of Ulysses. Next up, hit the James Joyce Center, a museum that offers walking tours to see the city through the artist's eyes. Finally, if you're interested in checking out any of the local watering holes, we suggest the Dublin Literary Pub Crawl, making stops at four historic bars. Cheers. Desmet, South Dakota. The Little House on the Prairie does exist. In fact, you can visit three of them in this city, less than a two-hour drive from Sioux Falls. There's the Surveyor's House, where Laura Ingalls Wilder and her family spent their first winter in the Dakota Territory. There's the two-story home Laura's father built between 1887 and 1889 after she married. And there's the Ingalls Homestead, where she lived from ages 13 to 18. It's tailored to the next generation of Little House fans. Kids can make corn cob dolls, drive a pony cart, and interact with, read, touch the exhibits. Bath, England. We may be prejudiced or prideful, but Bath is a no-brainer for this list. The city's buzzy social scene inspired Charles Dickens' The Pickwick Papers. Mary Shelley penned much of Frankenstein here. Immerse yourself in a multi-sensory museum about the books and see a plaque by the house where she wrote it. The city is also home to the Jane Austen Center, but if you're a super fan, make the two-ish hour drive to Chawton to tour the house where she wrote her six major novels. While there, take pics of her writing desk. New Orleans. The Big Easy's eclectic culture has an intrigue all its own, and it's inspired many important authors over the last century, like Ernest Hemingway, Anne Rice, Eudora Welty, and Truman Capote. All four frequented the iconic motel Monteleone in the French Quarter. One historian estimates that the hotel appears in more than 170 stories and novels. Stop in and sip a Sazerac at the Carousel Bar and Lounge, but leave time to visit Community Book Center, the city's oldest Black-owned bookstore. It features works by Black authors such as Britt Bennett, Octavia Butler, and Margaret Wilkerson Sexton. Monterey, California. Famous for its wine and stunning coastline, Monterey is also a literary gem. Treasure Island, written by Robert Louis Stevenson, was inspired by nearby Point Lobo State Natural Reserve, according to local lore. Make time for a hike and a photo op at China Cove, known for its emerald waters, and then drive 30 miles northeast to Salinas to celebrate John Steinbeck. Start at the National Steinbeck Center, a museum and memorial dedicated to the author. Finish at the Steinbeck House, his childhood home, which was converted into a restaurant in 1974. Pop in for lunch. The menu is full of Blue Zone-inspired dishes. Or to browse the gift shop where the family's original furniture is on display. Lenox, Massachusetts. You probably knew that Edith Wharton could craft a compelling narrative, but did you know that she was also an impeccable designer, gardener, and host? See for yourself by visiting The Mount. Her 113-acre home, now a museum, where she wrote some of her most famous works, including The House of Mirth. Continue your prose pilgrimage and head a short 7 miles north to Pittsfield to visit Arrowhead, Herman Melville's home-turned museum. It's where he wrote Moby Dick. One last stop, if there's time, about 60 miles away in Amherst, sits the Emily Dickinson Museum. Charleston, South Carolina. Celebrate the hauntiest time of year and walk the stomping grounds of a young Edgar Allan Poe, who lived in the area while enlisted as a soldier. Stay in the charming historic district and take a day trip to Sullivan's Island, where Poe was stationed at Fort Moultrie. Though he was there only about a year, he used the island setting in his short story, The Gold Bug. Explore the fort on your own or with a guide. A pre-tour fact. The structure was built during the Revolutionary War to help protect Charleston from Britain. Then check out another island highlight, the Edgar Allan Poe Library, which reopened in March of this year after undergoing some major renovations. That concludes the article, These Vacations Are Totally Lit. Next we'll read Pets, About Those Teefies. Are Doggy Dental Issues Having a Moment? By Lisa Friedman. In just the last few months, three real simple staff pups have had to deal with serious dental problems. Poor Rusty, Pepper, and Leslie Nope needed to be put under for deep cleans and multiple extractions. In Leslie's case, it was 38. The surge seemed to come out of nowhere and had us scratching our heads in addition to theirs. Feeling a little lost, we called up some experts to get some answers. Why are doggy dental issues such a thing now? There are two main reasons, says Naomi Hoyer, DVM, Associate Professor of Dentistry and Oral Surgery at Colorado State University's Veterinary Teaching Hospital. Veterinary medicine is growing by leaps and bounds every decade, and the recognition of how chronic dental disease affects the body is one of those growing areas of understanding. Also, all these medical advancements mean our pups are living much longer than they used to. Yay! But periodontal disease, one of the most common issues to affect the mouth, often gets worse as pets age. Hoyer says, not yay. Is it just us, or do small dogs seem to have the most issues? They do, says Courtney Campbell, DVM, a veterinary surgeon in Long Beach, California. Small dogs have the same number of teeth as large dogs, 42, but they're packed into a much smaller mouth, he explains. This crowding creates more nooks and crannies where bacteria and plaque can accumulate, making it harder to clean those areas effectively. Genetic factors are also at play. For instance, small breeds tend to keep their baby teeth longer, Campbell says, which can lead to problems like misalignment, extra crowding, and root infections. So what's a paw rent to do? Daily toothbrushing is the most effective way to remove the plaque that triggers the onset of periodontal disease, Hoyer says. But just like with people, toothbrushing is better started before severe gum infection and bone loss start. Begin brushing during puppyhood to help prevent major issues. If you miss that window, it's not too late. Get a resistant Rover warmed up to the idea by letting him smell and taste his toothpaste, which should be a dog-specific formula with enzymes, for about a week before you put anything in his mouth. The next week, put a dab on your finger and apply it to his teeth. Build up to brushing the pearly whites in the front with a special finger toothbrush, and eventually all of them. Alternatively, doggy dental wipes are like training wheels for toothbrushing, Campbell says. They're less abrasive than a toothbrush and can help your dog get used to having his mouth handled. Or a trainer may be able to help. When is the ideal time to do this? The best time is the time that works for you both, Campbell says. Pick a moment when your dog is calm, perhaps after a walk or playtime. Be consistent and give him loads of praise afterward. As for good job treats, try to hold off to let the enzymes do their thing. If you've got to give him a little something, Campbell suggests a carrot stick. apple slice, or cauliflower florette. Do those dental treats actually help with anything? Yes, with every gnaw, dental treats help clear away plaque and tartar buildup, but they're not a replacement for brushing, experts say. Ditto for dental rinses and water additives. To make sure you're buying the most effective options, our vets suggest looking for products with the Veterinary Oral Health Council, VOHC, seal of acceptance. And by the way, those antlers often sold at pet shops as tooth scrubbers are a no-go. They're too hard for teeth and can cause severe tooth fractures, Hoyer warns. Which is better, wet or dry food? Wet food can leave a residue, making brushing even more important. And while some dry food can help with tartar buildup, you still have to brush. Maybe your dog prefers a mix, or maybe his tummy does. Talk to your vet to decide what's best for his oral and overall health. You might even ask about a prescription dental diet. This kibble is specifically formulated and is often larger, with a unique texture that encourages chewing and helps scrape the teeth, Campbell says. Is over-intervention a concern? If your vet is telling you Wolverine needs to be put under for a deep clean that'll cost you four figures, you might wonder whether it's truly necessary, and whether it will be covered by insurance. Many policies are really good about covering trauma like tooth fractures, but getting coverage for periodontal disease is harder, Hoyer says. During the anesthetized procedure, double dollar signs, your vet can do a comprehensive oral exam, radiographs of the teeth and surrounding structures, double dollar signs, a full cleaning, more double dollar signs, and any necessary extractions, triple dollar signs. Even though I have an electric toothbrush, brush twice daily, and floss, I have never gone to the dentist and not had them find an area that needs a little extra cleaning, Hoyer says. Now think about the fact that despite your best attempts, you're probably not being nearly as thorough with your pup. When in doubt, ask follow-up questions, get a second opinion if you want, and do your best to take care of that little dude. That concludes the article about those teethies. If you missed any part of this program or are interested in another program, check out our on-demand menu on sunsounds.org. We are at the conclusion of this week's Earth and Home program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Thank you for tuning in this week. Join me next time for another new and informative program. Have a great week and stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.